Hogs Half Hour, I can't think anything that rhymes with husky, so I'm on the radio and not on the bus.
Wads, it's the businessman. Listen up, Dick Wads. Hello, Dick Wads, it's the businessman here. Today I was called into a meeting. Now, businessmen like me, we haven't got time for meetings. So I said, yeah, I'll attend the meeting. I went into the meeting, opened the door, and said, you lot are all dickheads. You're a dickhead. And the people I didn't call dickheads, I said, you aren't even dickheads. You're just fucking dicks. You can shove your meeting up your arse till it comes out your mouth. Cause that's all you lot will be speaking, utter shit. I haven't got time, I've got to sell stuff to keep you little pretty boys in a job. Now all you lot can fuck off. Then one of the little pipsqueaks popped up and said, I think you've got the wrong room. I said, I haven't got the wrong room, this is a meeting room, you're having a meeting, you're all dickheads. It doesn't matter what meeting I should be in, cause meetings are shit. I haven't got time for this, I'm gonna have to stay back 2 minutes, that cost me a sale. But I'll get it back and I'll double it, you little shitbags. Now listen to me and listen up good. Meetings are for work dodgers. Anyone in a meeting is dodging work. Now get out and do some work. Sell. Goodbye, Dick This is a subject that's not really related. Get milk delivered in the bottle, old style, retro, baby. I get my milk delivered, and today they left a little leaflet. Some genius in the marketing department, he must have said, look, you know, we're delivering this milk, we've got an opportunity. What if we advertised a few things they might like as well? Oh yeah, like what? Said the boss. I like it. She's thinking outside the box. Well, what if we had Cathedral City cheese 50p off? Jeez, well, it's like milk? Well, that's not too bad. Have you got any more ideas? Oh, funny you asked. Wall-mounted can crusher, £6, £5.99. They're going to love that. It crushes cans, a bottle opener. It's complete with fixings for wall mounting. Who the fuck has one of them in their house? We'll have the wall-mounted can crusher, top right. Next to it, we'll have some leisure binoculars. So what? Who the hell buys leisure binoculars apart from Peeping Toms? But below that, we'll have the five-bladed security shredding scissors. What? Who wants five-bladed security shredding scissors? Who do you think you work for? Gillette? And then we'll finish it off with a little folding garden kneeler seat. Yes, well, genius. I hope he got paid a good, healthy bonus this week when all the sales start coming in for the wall-mounted can crusher, five-bladed security shredding scissors, and leisure binoculars. Genius! This doesn't feel like a biscuit of the air variety. This feels more like a loaf of the meat variety. And we don't want that coming out. Cut it short, right? All right, the Hosk has just been to the dentist. It's one of those, you know, things got to get done in life. Oh, they keep saying, do some flossing. I hate flossing, though, because it just feels like my teeth are going to fly out all of a sudden. But to see the decay, its progress, they had to do an x-ray. And this is fine. They bite down the thing, put this machine next to you. Then they practically step out the door and fire it, which goes drunk. Then they put it on the other side of your mouth and fire it again. You know, when people use a machine and everyone else has to step right out of the room just to leave you in there with the machine of death, makes me a little bit concerned. It's like, whoa, where are you going? What's wrong with this? What is this dangerous? Is there something you aren't telling me? No, it's fine. All right, get out the room and fire the bastard. Shit, what? Still, what's worse is, the worst bit of it is it costs you £40. I was like, don't worry about it, let's just tend. It works. The dentist also commented that I burnt the roof of my mouth. Gosh, I didn't even know they looked at the roofs of people's mouths. You know, I just thought they looked at the teeth. But she went, oh dear, what's this? That seems to be very badly burnt. And I said, pizza. And she's like, ah, yes. that regular foe of the dentist, of the upper mouth, the evil pizza. Can't ever escape. I can never eat a pizza without burning the roof of my mouth. I can't wait long enough to get at the tasty beast. I suppose when there is great pleasure, there must always be some pain. Another thing the dentist said was that, oh yes, and here we can see the decay. Well, you've done very well in stopping the decay on this right tooth. It reminded me like as if the teeth were in some kind of battle and led by that Russell Crowe. Come on, teeth, stay with me! Stay with me, teeth! Here comes another wave! Attack! Fight with all your might, my brave white boys! The brave white defenders of the mouth! Fight back the evil black forces of decay and death! Then put up a brave resistance. In the end, plaque is a never-tiring enemy. He never sleeps. He won't stop until he's got one of your teeth and made the dentist expensively put a little filling in, bastard. Come on, teeth, on my signal. Stay with me, red leader. Red five standing by. Wait till you see the whites of their eyes, boys. Steady, steady with me. Attack! Because the teeth don't actually have much of an attack. Only merely against the food-like enemies. Against plaque, they're kind of sitting targets. Have to get helped back by the reinforcements of the toothbrush or the floss cannon. Harder! That's not enough! I need more! I just heard on the news about kind of donor awareness and of sperm donors, where someone's conceived using the donated sperm, which in itself sounds amusing, but then their name and address is recorded, so one day the little nipper could go and find this person, I assume. I mean, imagine that would be a bit embarrassing, wouldn't it? Hi, Dad. Ah, remember me? No. Remember that all that years ago when you used to go to that clinic and donate? Ah, yes. Yeah, the current wife doesn't know about this. Would you mind keeping it on the low down, you know? Ah, yes. On your form, there was nothing in the hobbies that you liked to do. Well, what were your hobbies in those days? Well, did like wanking, and I thought, I could probably turn this into some cash. So I started donating sperm. Oh, I was regular, 3 times a day. Brilliant. I had some great magazines there, you know. And look, 20 years later, here you are. It must be kind of odd. So your dad's a sperm donor. You wonder what the people are like who donate sperm. How much do you get for it? God, it's like, that really is money for nothing. What a good kind of job that is, though. I suppose, like all jobs, it might get a bit boring if you did it all the time, all day. Whew, get blisters as well. That wouldn't be very good, would it? A bit painful.
Gentlemen, this is
the Hoskinator.
He's a multi-capable masterpiece. He can squeeze the colour from a ruby or deftly pluck the eye from a living bird. And he's been programmed to enjoy what he does.
Just avoided potential catastrophe then. When I was just got to the point of no return, I was squeezing out a fart. Then I thought, whoa, wait a minute. This doesn't feel like an air biscuit. This doesn't feel like a biscuit of the air variety. This feels more like a loaf of the meat variety. And we don't want that coming out. Cut it short. Right then. I think my mate, he told me some story or something where I think he had a similar experience where he bounded straight through the point of no return and ruined his pants. And he threw them, he had to throw them in the bin or flush them down the bog, whatever. He came up, and some people like to talk about such things like their bowel movements and sex and all that, whatever. Some are more reserved. But he just said, oh, you know, I'm bloody, he was 26 at the time. He said, I'm 26, you know? I shouldn't be putting myself in public anymore. That shouldn't happen. And I'm afraid I had to agree. But it still can happen to anyone. So just be on your guard.
I might be northern, but it doesn't mean you can point those nipples at me.
Why are you readers, man? I've just been up the toon doing some shopping for me mum. I'm out shopping round Tesco's Lake. I saw on the list some corned beef hash. Ooh, I lick my lips over that lake. Because that means I'll be having one of my favourites, corned beef hash lake. Me mum's corned beef is legendary all round the toon. But when I took the corned beef to the counter lake, the woman said, what you gotta do with that lake? You don't want to be eating that. It's full of pigs, cocks some foreskins at Island? I said, oh, no, no, no. I said, what are you talking about, Lake? You bloody youngsters, always talking about cocks. You got it on the brain. I wish I could go back to my dad's day when you never saw a woman naked unless it was your birthday. Oh, they're the good old days, Lake. I'm going back now so my mum can start cooking me corned beef hash.
Wow! Wow!
Woo! It's something you weren't expecting.
What a piece of piss it must be to be a conductor. How do I get to do that job? What interview is there? Okay, right, you for the conductor job? Oh, yeah, that's me. I'm here. Right, now, you do know the qualifications? Oh, I read them, yeah. Can you read music? No, well, it doesn't matter. You don't have to play an instrument. Brilliant. Now, can you look stern, a bit crazy? You need a few facial expressions. Can you look stern, then a bit crazy, and then really energetically jump up and down? Yeah, I can do that. Look, ready? Oh, raise the eyebrows. Oh, that's good. I like the raised eyebrows. That is very nice. And, oh, down, down, up. Oh, a nice little jump. I like that. Now, the main thing is you have to be able to twizzle this stick around a lot. Yes, well, I did read that. I wondered what for. Just for effect, really. It gives the composer a bit of authority. And because the band members, they can get a bit they can be a bit unruly. And sometimes you have to hit them with the stick. Now, you don't do this on the performance, only in practice. But then, whilst they're playing, in case they're thinking about slacking off, you just wave that stick around a little bit. Then they'll know that if they are a bit naughty, muck around a bit, you'll be there thwacking them with the stick. And that's usually the deterrent enough we need. Oh, I wondered what that was for, you know. Bloody hell. I mean, it's just a complete... You look at the... There he is, jumping around, looking important, looking like he's the boss. None of the other people playing the instruments, they're not even looking at him. They're all reading music or looking at each other or just looking out in the distance. They could have a bloody dog up there. They could have anyone. They could have your granny. A little newborn baby could be up there. Just staple a little... Don't staple it. Just sellotape it, shall we? Have a sellotape a little stick in his hand. He'll wave it around. That's a conductor. There he is, doing the magic. How did they get there? What are they doing? What is the purpose of them? I remember at school, actually, that we had... I used to muck around a fair bit at school. And we had played some instruments one day, kind of musical lesson. And I remember I had a tambourine. Tambourine. But we were just shaking it. But I only had one little metal bit. And so shaking it didn't do anything. And I just remember laughing a lot. But we had this one teacher who saw himself as a conductor. And he had a little stick and everything. And so there we were, making a racket, because no one could play any instruments. We were enthusiastic, but completely shit. And he used to conduct, but he got carried away. He was jumping up and down, pointing to the left, pointing to the right. Why? No one could even play any instruments. I'd be embarrassed if I was wiggling the stick in the front against for a load of idiots who couldn't play music. But the problem was, all the class kept laughing when he did it. Especially when he hit the crescendo and was really like jumping up and down, we all stopped playing instruments and started laughing. Made it very entertaining, but where do these conductors come from? Now, I have a theory that basically the conductor was kind of the job given to the little spaz boy who couldn't do anything. You know, there's some people in life who are just rubbish at absolutely everything. Not just the fatties, you know, because they have some kind of skills, eating mostly, but, you know, and often they're quite good at bullying, using their size and stuff. But everyone usually has some skills, apart from some people. They are just crap at everything. Losers. You know, the people are picked last at sports, picked last at quiz, not picked last in friends, because they don't really have much of a friend. They hang around a bit near people, and you talk to them just to bully them a bit, usually. I reckon it's him. But he, in this case, was like the kind of... He was the son of someone important. And I said, just put him at the front. Give him his little stick. We'll tell him it's an instrument. And tell him to sort of kind of shake it around a bit. Yeah, should we do that? And I reckon people loved it. Because he was people were bored by the music and they just saw this, it was bloody wiggling it around, thinking it was really important, and they had a real good hoot about it. I reckon that's how conductors came about.
Killer clowns from outer space. Holy shit.
Well, that isn't as funny as this.
I heard on the radio just now, The Prisoner's Dilemma. And it's, if two of you get caught, if you, and you've both been interrogated separately, if you both don't say anything, you'll both be alright. But if one says something, then the other one gets stitched up. And then, so what happens is, they go in, and you think, well, is he going to stitch me up? Should I stitch him up first? And then what happens is that they both stitch each other up. But if everyone didn't stitch each other up and said and stayed with the idea of not grasping on each other, then they'd be all right. Yeah? Well, that is a dilemma. Nice. That's from Radio 4. See how I changed over from Radio 1, and all of a sudden something interesting popped out of the bloody radio. Tremendous.
Stand by to check interior radiation.
Hold it, look!
Oh my god, Hosk's off hours on.
The hell with radiation, let's go.
Hello, listeners to the Hoskcast. Hoskcast, by the way, is a word which the Hosk made up and obviously put my name into it. I imagine that's what most people would make it up words in past times. As I know, bugger all Latin and can't be fancy. I've had to improvise. Anyway, someone typed in the word Hoskcast into Google and it said, "Do you mean Holocaust?" Which is nice. And then later in the day, someone came up to me. They went, "How dare you doubt the Milky Way?" And I was thinking, "Do you mean doubt the Milky Way? I know it's there. I believe in it fully. In fact, I think shit. Did I say something when boozed up that the Milky Way and the solar system doesn't really exist?" Yeah, that sounds like the kind of thing I say when I had a few beers. Something completely idiotic like that. But then I realised that I think I slagged off the Milky Way, questioning its completely made-up credentials of the snack you can eat between meals. I mean, but you, why don't it, between on meals, you know, you could have Milky Way and chips if you wanted. But to say you can have it between meals because it's light and fluffy and doesn't fill you up, I don't think that's a plus sign, really. It's just saying, eat these, they won't fill you up in the slightest. It's like a single McDonald's burger. No one buys just one of those. I mean, look at them. They're pathetic. But they don't go boasting about it. The burger you can eat between meals.
Hosk is gonna tell you something now.
Yes, hello, my name is Bernard Hoskovsky. In England, people do not like the lovely cabbage soup or even cabbage on a toast. Yes, this week I ordered in the pub a special dish of toads in whole. But when dish was presented to Bernard, there was not even one toad on the whole plate. Yes. When I take back and complain, I say, "Where is my toad?" The man, he laughs and say, "We don't have any toad. You have a sausage." I say, "I don't want a sausage. I want a toad." Okay, how about any frogs? It seems that this is an English joke of saying a toad in a hole is actually a sausage in a butter. In Poland, we not find this very funny at all. And many people be shocked when they buy a pigeon a soup, you get a pigeon in a soup. This is right. England wrong.
A group of mining engineers were prospecting for copper. What they unearthed was a story that was to terrorize the whole world.
It was a Hosk story.
Oh, I just went to the cash point, and it said, cash-free withdrawal. I thought, yes, yeah, baby. So I just should get some money out. But then I found this isn't cash-free. It bloody cost me, because I got out 20 quid, and then a week later I looked at my bank statement, bosh, got charged 20 quid for it. That's not free then. That cost me. But, you know, sort out your wording, alright? 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 Alright?
Fritz, get up, for God's sake, get up! They've killed Fritz! Those lousy, stinking yellow fairies! Those horrible, atrocity-filled vermin! Those despicable animal warmongers! They've killed Fritz!
We you just calm down and listen to this next news nugget?
It's amusing, I think, to find that MPs are kind of complaining this week that their phones have been bugged. It's not really allowed. I mean, I bet they're complaining. Jesus Christ, they're the most corrupt bunch of it, and they're like saying, why are you bugging our phones for? And it's like, Jesus, dudes, have you not read the papers? Every single week there is a scandal in there of you ripping off fucking money or taking dodgy bribes all the time, and they're the ones we've just found about. There must be loads of other bloody underhand dealings going on. Forget the criminals, let's just get these MPs for a bloody fact. Firstly, they get paid over 100 grand to piss around and hardly ever go. I mean, what do they do? Do you ever hear an MP raising many issues for your constituency? No. Piss off. What we got? Oh, this week. Oh, yeah. I think I'll hire my son as a researcher. Yes, and what did he research exactly? Feckle. They couldn't find one single piece of work done by this little scrote. And he'd been there for 4 years. Come on. And did this bloke resign? No. Sorry, everyone. I've been a bit of a naughty boy. I'll try and... I won't pay it back if you don't mind. Yeah, get that 45 grand out that you paid him and put it back. That's my tax, you git. A load of expenses. Fucking hell. And he also done this with his previous son. That's like, we'll say, 80 grand he's had to his family from the taxpayers for doing absolutely arsehole. See, then at times like this, and you see MPs acting like this, you think, well, if I had a dictatorship, they wouldn't need all those bloody Muppets. Think the money we'd save. What was there, 900? Nine times 100,000? Ooh, lovely. Plus expenses. I could probably get elected dictator just with those. That's my only policy. Of course, to help me get in, I'd just probably say, oh, well, I'll cut the price of fuel, reduce the cost of beer, make loads of ridiculous claims. Everyone will forget by the time you get in Prime Minister. Yeah. Just like when, in Hartlepool, the football team's mascot, who was a big gorilla or something, he got voted in as mayor. But then once he took the role, he stopped wearing his costume, which I think really is kind of cheating. Can't be trusted. Those geezers in big furry costumes. There's one at the Scumbags Norwich, and his hat fell off. They had a big canary, and it was like some 75-year-old geezer in there. Then it made people think, because it'd been bloody lolloping about and leaping and jumping, and then you find out it's some old codger. You think, bloody hell, it's typical of Norwich. Probably won't pan him either. Bloody scum. We're out yesterday and we saw a little car boot sale type thing, and it was 5 books for a quid. Bargain. We had 4 books, and then my mum saw this book called by Raymond Chandler, and I thought, oh, he did The Big Sleep, kind of noirish 1950s kind of detective, tough detective cracking crimes. So she got it. Right. A bit suspicious. She had pictures of Michael Jackson all over the cover. So you're thinking, that's a bit odd. And then after reading the blurb, Raymond Chandler is Michael Jackson's uncle and he spills the beans. My mum's now got a book about Michael Jackson. Oh, beautiful. Just what you want to buy from a car boot sale, isn't it?
Well, bloody listeners, let me tell you, today I decided that I'm not going to go out for a drink. Yeah, why should I? I decided that I would just stay in my house and not go out for a drink, because I am the master of the booze, and booze is not the master of me. No, not bloody at all. So I said, and then 10 o'clock, I turned the television on, and I was watching some morning television. Well, bloody hell, what a load of shit. After 15 minutes of that crap, I had to go out for a bloody drink. It's fucking crap. I think the government should do something about it. Because showing this fucking rubbish on the telly, making people booze. Yes, bloody makes them booze, I tell you. It's not bloody good enough, is it? Fucking Jeremy Carl telling me, watching him give fucking blood tests for bloody idiots. Well, it's enough to make anyone thirsty, isn't it?
I forgot my letter in this house.
Sun letters. Now there are some problems. It's just when you hear them, you think, ah, fucking hell, not that again. Ugh, makes me angry. And this is one of them, you know. I hate it. As people always start it with, I hate it. So I hate it when... Oh, you fall for your brother's wife after he directed porn film with you both in. I bloody hate it when that happens. Oh, it just gets me angry. You know, he might not be your brother, might be your mate or something. You know, he says, oh, fancy being in a porn film. You and my wife, I'll do the filming. You shag her really hard, you know, really give it to her. And then later you're like, oh, fancy your wife a bit now. He's like, what? Where did that come from? For God's sake. Oh, bloody hell. Well, I've done everything I can to avoid this, and you've just gone and started fancying my bloody wife. What the fuck? I wonder how they choose these. You'd think Deirdre would, like, let's pick problems, you know, which a lot of the readers will read and think, oh, yeah, that happened to me. I wonder what her advice is. They probably choose them like that. Oh, you know, they choose the stories like that. And they must have picked this one, put it forward. And then someone must went, well, this falling for the brother's wife after he directed porn film. Is that a common problem, do you think? Is it? Yes. Well, you're the expert, Deirdre. I've just never... It hasn't happened to my mate, shall we say. But I don't think so. It's not the kind of thing you'd... hear about. Not kind of thing you'd want to spread around too much, is it? You must wonder what Deirdre was thinking when she read the letter. Dear Deirdre, as that makes start like that. I was in a homemade porn movie having sex with my sister-in-law all over her house with my brother, her husband, filming. She must think, gee, fucking hell. My sister-in-law, dear brother, he's... It's one of those stories when they're so complicated. Those stories that are sort of complicated. You're trying to keep in your mind... It's like a whodunit, got all the characters, and he's there, and he's doing that, so can't be the butler. They now want to do more filming, but it's no longer fun for me. I'm falling for her. Surely, shagging the person you're falling for would be fun. I quite like his quaint description of sex as fun. That sounds really erotic, doesn't it? Oh, that's sexy, didn't I? It's really fun, wasn't it? Was it fun for you? Yeah, wasn't it? Remember that bit when I flipped you over? Yeah, brilliant. So now we've had the description of the problem, now we go into a bit more of the details, a bit more of the meat. So my brother's a big shot, sounds like he doesn't like him very much, in advertising, and his wife is sweet and curvy and too good for him. Even he can see that he's too smug and arrogant. He sounds like one of those brothers, you know, who just don't get on. You know, they just, like, meet up enough just to have a kind of big argument and then go away. Well, I thought that initially, but then I thought, well, he must get on quite a bit. He has invited him to be in the porn movie, Shag and his wife. They must be on friendly terms. But those other brothers, they don't get on. And then your one brother will be saying, my brother, he's a fat twat. You go, yeah, he's a bit of a fat twat. And they go, what? Don't talk about... like that about my brother, mate. It's like, well, I was just following you. I can say that about him, you can't, alright? Alright, some weird rule. And then I was also thinking about this. Of all the people you'd want to film shagging your wife, which, you know, I was thinking only if it was like a... if it was Tom Cruise, and you said, if you go, someone's been shagging my wife, and they go, who? And he said, it's Tom Cruise, once. And they go, Yeah, I can see that. I can see why that happened. But if it was like you, I don't know, you not the kind of thing you'd be saying really down the pub, but if you said, yes, here's my brother, they'd go, what? What the fuck? Ugh. I mean, that's not, you know, that's not really good form, is it? It's a horrendous image, in fact. It's so horrible, his brother shagging his wife, why on earth would he want to film it? Oh, man. Right, but anyway, this letter's written from the brother who's complaining. So how did this come about? Well, his brother, how come it about? Well, his brother brought a brand new camera. Brand new video camera. Well, I mean, this should be about the dangers of buying video cameras, should it not? You buy a camera, oh, what shall I film? I know, my brother shagging my wife. I mean, how the hell does that link up? He bought the camera, he was deciding to film his own movie. No plot or script by the sounds of it. So he's going around the house, he's getting his brother, his beautiful house, getting his brother to strike a few poses, a few sexy poses, and then touch one another. Must have been going, what? You mean to sexily touch your wife? He was getting off on the role as director, but it was all getting a bit risky. But he left it at that. Next time he visited, he wanted me to do a full porn movie. What? It's quite... I like the way he approached it, though. Let's do a porn movie. My wife's well up for it. There must be alarm bells going off all around here. I mean, alarm bell asking your brother, that's a bit weird. Your wife saying she's well up for it. That's a bit suspicious in my eyes. You know, perhaps this is the kind of thing I would use to test your wife if she's, like, maybe, like, looking to finish the relationship, get a divorce, or is she having an affair? You'd be like, yeah, would you be up for having a... doing a porn movie? Oh, yeah, I'm well up for it! Woo! Okay, I think I've heard enough now. Your card is marked, Mrs. I'm gonna lock you in that room now. So he says, oh, yeah, I'll be in there with a bit of your wife. So they go round... He must be maybe looking at this as a career, because he was telling them what to do. He was telling me just what to do with his wife. I don't know where he got his ideas from, but they were definitely top shelf. I couldn't help getting aroused. He now wants me to make another film, but my feelings for his wife make it seem so wrong. I'd tell him to stop, but he's my big brother, and he wouldn't take it kindly. Plus, I might never see his wife again. Now here, you're thinking, bit of a whinger. There's a girl he really fancies, and he's getting a free go to give her a good rogering. Surely. What's he whinging about? Oh, I love her now. Well, show her, son, and we'll film it all. Deirdre's response is kind of perplexing. Learn to stand up to your brother. Well, it's not as if he's bullying him into it. He's just asked him, and he said yes. I mean, there's no pressure. He hasn't said, if you don't shag my wife, I'm going to tell Mum about that time you smashed her favourite plate or something. He's not really putting up much of a fight. Then says, you're an adult now, you should make your own decisions. Your brother's enjoying the power he has over both you and his wife. Deirdre blathers on a bit, and then as all things, at the moment she says, why don't you take my leaflet? Leaflet on what? How can this question, falling for bro's wife after doing porn movie directed by my brother and with his wife, how is there a leaflet on this? Surely you can't make a leaflet on this. Can't. What can you put in it? And there's a leaflet on inserting yourself. Not asserting, not inserting. Asserting yourself and how to stay firm in your beliefs. Well, maybe this is the leaflet for the porn industry. I mean, if this column was called Dear Hosk, what I would say is, do you really want to be falling for someone and want to go out with someone who marries one brother and then shags the other whilst the other's filming? Now, if you... they're not really the kind of people you want a long-term relationship, are they? You know, down the road, there might lead to a bit of trouble in my eyes. You know, when she gives the glad eye to your dad or whatever, smiles at him, you'd be thinking, what are you up to? Hello? What's your game? There's no cameras here, come on. And what about, imagine having Sunday dinner with all the family. That'd be a bit interesting. If you were sitting there thinking, ooh, I've shagged your wife. And you filmed it. Ooh. Mum says, oh, what have you been up to on the weekend? Well, he got that new camera. Oh, we put it to good use, all right? Oh, yeah. Of course, dear Deirdre's letters are all true. They're not made up in the slightest. Just want you to know that.
Where did that accent come from? Yes, indeed, sir. You're
get
fucking
the fuck! Get the fuck!
Stop making me insult you. It's just like...
Stop forcing my hand.
Honestly.
Stop fucking forcing my
God.
Hand.
And here is... Are the muck-ups.
Yes, hello, my name is Leonard...
Fucking not.
This week...
That's fucking Italian.
Yes, this week, bye, when the...
Oh, man. I better get many Geordies listening to this.
This doesn't feel like a biscuit of the air variety. This feels more like a loaf of the meat variety. And we don't want that coming out. Cut it short.
Right, come on, dickhead.
I don't know where he got his ideas from, but they were definitely top shelf. Opened the door and said, you lot are all dickheads. You're a dickhead, you're a dickhead, you're a dickhead, you're a dickhead. Suppose when there is great pleasure, there must always be some pain.
When...
So I went into the room, all you lot will be...
I wish I could go back to my dad's day, when you never saw a woman naked, unless it was your birthday. Oh, they're the good old days, Lake. I'm going back now, so my mum can start cooking my corned beef hash. Ooh, I lick my lips over that, Lake. Because that means I'll be having one of my favourites. Cut, you damn wannabe. You bloody youngsters, always talking about pigs.
Come on.
What are you talking about, Lake? What are you talking about?
Oh, I love her now.
Well, show her, son, and we'll film it all.